That is, there is something about having three generations doing music together that just opens your heart. It says thank you. So, thank you. So let's begin today with a statement of profound truth. God, that mystery that is the all of allness, lives in us and lives through us. And in spite of our many human frailties, we are expressions of the power and the presence and the love of God. We are expressions of the presence and the love and the power of God. And each of us can claim, I am a wholly loved expression of God. So feel those words. I am a wholly loved expression of God. So say it with me. I am a wholly loved expression of God. Another way that is used to describe that divine presence is the term light. And that term is used in many, many traditions. In Buddhism, like many of the other traditions, light is a symbol. And a symbol of the master's teachings, the truth that dispels the dark of ignorance. When you go into a dark room, you turn on a light because you want to see what's in the room. You want to see the nature of the room. The light that dispels the darkness of ignorance is that teaching that dispels the darkness in the Buddha mind. The candle is a symbol of the Buddha mind. And the light of truth, it is the light of truth that dispels the darkness. As one candle, in turn, lights another candle, and then another candle, the larger darkness is dispelled. Jesus, too, used the symbol of light. Out of the Gospel of Matthew, no one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but puts it on a lampstand so that it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others. My personal spiritual work, A Course in Miracles, combines the idea of light and Christmas. In the Course, it says, the sign of Christmas is a star, a light shining in darkness. See it not outside of yourself, but see it shining in the heaven within, and accept it as the sign of the time of Christ has come. A light shining in the darkness. This idea of our own inner divinity and the light of God within us is woven together in the first few verses of the Gospel of John. And I want to read the first five verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It was in the beginning with God. All things were made through it, and without it was not anything made that was made. In it was life. And the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The light in the dark. You know, these 4 weeks of Advent can be an intentional spiritual journey for us to realize that light within ourselves. Now, having said that, I appreciate that for some of us sitting here today, the Christmas journey is not entirely comfortable as it is cloaked in Christian symbolism. Now, unity is often a safe place to heal the wounds that we have sustained from attacks by others. Sometimes it is family behavior from our childhood that still needs healing. Sometimes it is the past association with institutions like a church in which we grew up that have injured us, and we seek a way to let it go. All of this past history that needs healing causes difficulty when in unity we use language and symbols from our Christian heritage and use the Bible as scripture. Now, the reason that unity regards itself as part of the Christian tradition is that it was an intentional choice by the co-founders, Myrtle and Charles Fillmore. While they were raised in a Christian tradition, they were both rather unorthodox for their time. And after Myrtle realized her healing from tuberculosis, they both deepened their study of the world religions, trying to find the common link. And finally, Charles Fillmore decided that it was all confusion. And he said, "If it is true that I am spirit, as God is spirit, then we ought to be able to communicate." And he began the spiritual practice of sitting in silent meditation, what unity calls the silence, every day. And he continued this for the rest of his life. Now, I don't know whether he actually ever heard anything as he sat in that silence, but it is recorded that he did start receiving guidance in other avenues, and even sometimes through his dreams. And out of this lengthy process of studying religions and sitting in the silence, the Fillmores decided that unity was Christian. And because they believed that it was in the life and the teachings of Jesus that they saw the clearest path to each of us, bringing forth that divine energy and light and that is within us. You see, unity honors Jesus as a brother and as a way shower. And we see the same divinity in us that was in him. Charles and Myrtle Fillmore would have wholeheartedly affirmed with us, "I am a wholly loved expression of God." I can hear him now standing up here and affirming that with that zeal and energy that was their trademark. Now, I have to share that at one time in my life, I was very uncomfortable saying that Jesus was my way shower and that Jesus Christ was the head of Unity School. You see, I was still rooted in my childhood concepts and associations and my fears around my own wounds that I brought with me. I had to wrestle with these ideas. I had to find a new way to understand and to relate before I could become comfortable saying those words. And once I did, I discovered that there was a buried wealth of spiritual love and knowledge just waiting for me to unearth it. So now Christmas is a time for me to rebirth my indwelling Christ. You might do an internal wince at that term Christ. Charles Fillmore writes in The Revealing Word, a dictionary of metaphysical terms, "The indwelling Christ is the spiritual nucleus within each of us." The spiritual nucleus within each of us. Unity identifies Christ as the Son of God. Us. Charles goes on to say that each person has within themselves the Christ idea just as Jesus did. We each have a spiritual nucleus, whole and perfect, created by God, held in the mind of God. This is our light, our Christ, if you will. This is the I am of us that is wholly loved, an expression of God. So there is another hard part in this idea of our Christian roots. Unity uses the Bible as scripture. So I ask you, what is scripture? Scripture is any writing that people find sacred. Any writing that people find sacred. So some examples. Out of the Buddhist tradition, there's the Pali Canon, there's the Diamond Sutra, there's the Heart Sutra. Out of the Hindu traditions, there are the Vedas and the Upanishads. Out of Judaism, the Torah, the Talmud, the Kabbalah. Out of Taoism, there is the Tao Te Ching. Out of Wicca, there's the Book of Shadows. Out of Islam, there is the Quran. And the list could go on and on and on. The common link between all of these scriptures is that each of them, in each of them, someone is sharing their understanding of the divine and humankind's relationship to the divine. So unity honors each path, each understanding of the divine and our relationship. And we will utilize methods and teachings and techniques from many of these traditions because we find them compatible with who we are. Now, we are, however, Christian, and we are rooted in that Judeo-Christian tradition, and unity uses the Bible as scripture. And I want to be clear that we do not see the Bible as a single book or the literal Word of God. It is many books written over 1,000 years by many people, each with their own concept of what God is and how we relate to that Godness. There is little, if any, actual history in the way we think of history today in that book. But there is a wealth of spiritual knowledge, spiritual learning, just waiting to be uncovered. Unity finds that spiritual wealth when we read those stories and those events out of the Bible as stories of our own soul's evolution. That is how we read the Christmas story out of the Gospels. When we read those first few verses in the Gospel of John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, we might hear an early Christian hymn, which scholars say that is probably what it is, and we also hear a deeper understanding based on metaphysical principle. And to do that, we have to expand two of those words, God and Word. To a Jew of Jesus' time, the word that we read as God in the scriptures would have been the Aramaic word, Allah. Allah, say that. Allah. Almost makes you laugh, doesn't it? Allah has a myriad of meanings, depending on the context. Aramaic scholar Neil Douglas Klotz, who is also the co-director of the Institute of Advanced Learning and Conscious Living in Edinburgh, Scotland, has written a book called The Hidden Gospel, an Aramaic understanding of the words in that in the Gospels we find. And he says this about the meaning of Allah. Allah can mean sacred unity, It can mean oneness. It can mean the all. It can mean ultimate power or ultimate potential. It can mean the one with no opposite. Do not these sound like terms that we actually use here in Unity? In the beginning was the allness of sacred unity. Well, now I like that. The other term that we need to expand on is the word word. See, we're so connected to that term that we think we know exactly what it means and what it would have meant. But it would have been better if the translator had left the original Greek word in its place, the word logos. Because when we read logos, we all go, huh? What does that mean? So to the ears of an inhabitant of ancient antiquity, roughly 300 BCE to 400 CE, the term logos was weighted with meaning. John Stanford, in his book, Mystical Christianity, says that to the Greeks, logos meant the idea of an indwelling presence of God. An indwelling presence of God. And the same word in for the Jewish tradition would have been Sophia out of the wisdom literature. And it meant God's feminine nature of divine wisdom and creative power. God's feminine nature of divine wisdom and creative power, a presence within. So if we take these two terms and expand them with a deeper understanding, we can reframe John 1, 1 through 5 in this way. And I'm using the scholar's version. Expanded, okay. Listen to these. In the beginning, there was the divine creative power and wisdom. And the divine creative power and wisdom was there with the allness of sacred unity. And it was what sacred unity was. It was there with the one with no opposite. It was there from the beginning. And everything came to be by means of it. Nothing that exists came to be without this agency. In it was life, and this life was the light of humanity. Light was shining in the darkness, and the darkness did not master it. Light, the very light of the presence of the divine, was shining in the darkness and was not mastered. But what does this mean for us? Well, this is where our faith becomes important. If we came into being through the power and the same wisdom that is sacred unity, and that same divinity is within us, waiting for us to realize its presence, then we have the opportunity to journey inward, to go within this Christmas season and to find our own divine nature. We can do this if we have the faith that we can. This was one of Myrtle and Charles Fillmore's great revelations, that we bring forth from our inner potential what we believe we can. Our faith channels and shapes our lives. So what a gift. What a gift we have waiting to manifest as us. You see, Jesus became the full potential, the full expression of God in human form, a perfect example of John's light shining in the darkness. And to the extent that we allow the Logos, otherwise called the Christ, within us, to be called forth, we can become like Jesus, a light in the darkness. Namaste.